I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you this morning. And this is, in case you don't know, this is the back half of a trade that we've done. You all remember being at our place in January, and Pastor Ken gave a good message on the sanctity of human life. So today, we are returning the favor, and I appreciate the invitation. I know my folks do, too. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Honestly, go like this if you can't hear me. I am not a habitually loud talker, so please don't think you're going to be embarrassing me if you tell me to speak up, okay? All right, let's begin by praying. Father, we thank you for the chance to be together this morning. Thank you for the lovely weather, and we thank you most of all, Lord, for your son Jesus. We thank you for saving those who believe in him. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, and we ask right now as we open your word together that your spirit would be upon us and among us and active in us, teaching us from your holy word, Lord God, this good thing that you have done for us. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, now the Lord's brother, Jude, wrote in the beginning of his letter that he wanted to write to the churches, write to the brothers about our common salvation. But he couldn't. He had something more pressing that he needed to write about, and that was the urgent problem of false teaching. He said, at the beginning of Jude, it says, although I would love to talk about our common salvation, I need to write instead to urge you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So I'm going to leave to you what he wrote on that matter, and it is very, very important. So, but what I would like to do today is instead share with you a couple of thoughts about what he wanted to write about but couldn't, and that is our common salvation. Our common salvation. So we're two congregations that are together here today. We have one Lord,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are saved on the same one basis, and that is by faith in the complete work of atonement that Jesus achieved by his obedient death. Now, Amen. By and large, we may not perhaps know each other personally super well. We know the people in our own congregations better, of course, than we know each other. Things like this are God-pleasing because they remedy that situation. Anytime we can get together and share a meal and share fellowship, that brings us closer together. Nevertheless, even before that bond is really fully developed, we have this common salvation that not only links us, binds us together, but it also distinguishes us from the rest of men. Do you need me to prove? Do you need me to argue that there are two distinct classes of man in the world? There are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are those that are still dead in their trespasses and sins. They are still outside the blessing of God, and they are still under his wrath. Okay, you have people who have been placed into the body of Christ, and you have those who have not. Our common salvation distinguishes us from the rest of men. Now, it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we're not wishy-washy about this. Either you can say of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am his and he is mine,
Amen.
Or you can't. Either you have been adopted by the Heavenly Father, or you have not been. And now that's a completely separate issue from being religious. It's a separate issue from giving alms and being generous, or being a regular churchgoer. Either you have been illuminated by the gospel, or you have not. Okay, you have had the eyes of your heart open. You've understood the truth of Jesus in all its goodness, and you've put your trust in him. You've made Jesus your life, or you haven't. Okay, so what I said, there's only two classes of human being in the world, and there's no fuzzy area in between. Okay, and if we're wishy-washy about this, we simply will not be very urgent, will we, about saving our family, our friends, or even ourselves. Okay, you can't just cross your fingers and hope that you're going to squeak through. Can't just cross your fingers and hope that your neighbor, your mom, or your son is going to squeak through by doing enough good things. This common salvation that Jude speaks of distinguishes those who belong to Christ from the rest of mankind. Fortunately for the rest of mankind, though, the invitation is wide open. Okay, now, those of you who believe already, whether you are from First Baptist, or whether you're from Berean, across town, or whether you have come from Florida or the other side of the world, whether I know you well personally or not, okay, we have a common salvation. For those of you who may not be so sure, maybe you simply just do not believe, or maybe you are visiting today, somebody has invited you to the picnic, maybe you have gone from church to church in your life and you've never quite found satisfaction, you're starting to get skeptical whether you ever will, okay? I will just ask you please to listen. My guess is that the gospel, as it is set forth in Holy Scripture, this salvation to which Jude refers is probably something different from what you think it is. And so, though we do not at this point yet share a common salvation, perhaps soon we will, if you just give me your ears for a couple of more minutes. I want to set before you, see in your bulletin, I want to set before you this morning a couple of two little bits of scripture from Paul's letters. One of them expresses, in just a nutshell, expresses what is this common salvation, and the other is a prayer for the blessed millions of people who already participate in that common salvation, okay? Both of them couch the blessings of God, this salvation, in terms of the concept of fullness, okay? Now, you're going to know a certain kind of fullness here by the time you leave the picnic today, yes? You have known that kind of fullness before. You will know it again. My guess, though, if I were a betting man, I would bet that before you go to bed tonight, you are going to return to the emptiness, this feeling of hunger that you are currently experiencing and you are waiting so patiently to have satisfied, and satisfied you will in just a little bit. But sometime this evening, you are going to find yourself looking into the refrigerator to find what is there left over to eat, okay? 6 hours ago, I said, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten so much at the picnic, but now here I am looking to see, is there any cherry vanilla ice cream left? Okay. A similar sensation is thirst. Okay. Oh, I'm so thirsty, I need a drink. I guess I'm going to drink Pastor Ken's drink. I need to drink my fill. Okay. The woman that Jesus met at the well, why was she there? She was concerned about having her fill of water. Right? And Jesus said to her, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. And whoever drinks that water will never thirst. He will never have to drink his fill ever again. And the woman said, oh, that sounds fantastic. I would love to have that water so I don't keep dragging this bucket out here every day because I drink my fill. But then I get thirsty again. And then I drink my fill. And I get thirsty again. And this is getting old. And of course, we all know that Jesus was not talking about being full that way. He was not talking about being thirsty that way. So the kind of fullness that you're going to have here in the next couple of hours, though it is very pleasant, okay, we all know it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And if you are here today and you leave with your belly plenty full, but your soul still hungering, then we will not have accomplished our desired purpose. So let me explain this concept, scriptural concept of fullness in Christ. So to the scriptures, the first one is Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10 says this, you have been filled in him, in Christ. Okay, as I said, that's putting it in a nutshell. You have been filled in him. If we unpack that very dense idea and we understand what Paul meant by it, it's powerful. That is the gospel in a couple of words. It is the good news that is extended to us and that we in turn extend and we proclaim to anyone who is willing to listen to what God is saying, to what he is offering to the human race. To have received fullness, to have been filled in Christ, is actually a staggering proposition. Okay, the Bible calls it so great a salvation. God is offering us something amazing here. Okay, now hold that thought. I'm going to give you the other passage, which is in Ephesians. Ephesians and Colossians are kind of companion letters. They share a lot of the same ideas. And so you see it again here in Ephesians 3:19. And as I told you, this is Paul's prayer for prayer request for people who have already come to faith in Jesus Christ. So you could say they've already been filled. Okay, so this is his prayer for us. It's my prayer for you. Let me start in verse 14. Okay, I'm going to just distill this sentence for you. Verse 14, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." He's praying. Okay, I'm praying. Verse 16, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you," so he's asking God for something to be given to the believers. And what is that? Among other things, see down in verse 19b, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Okay, you know, you see that there's other prayer requests in there in that sort of long sentence. And all of those other prayer requests are stupendous too. But just for now, just see that though he writes that in Colossians, that the believer has been filled in Christ, he yet prays that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. Back to Colossians, there is a similar prayer in the first chapter of Colossians. It's 1:9. Colossians 1:9, he says, "From the day we heard about you," ever since the day we heard that you had received Christ, you had been joined to him too, you had committed yourself to him, and you had become sharers in this common salvation. "Ever since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Okay? So let me speak to you about our common salvation in these terms, in terms of fullness and filling. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, when a person has heard the plain, straightforward, biblical, undistorted message of what was the cross for and how God's abundant grace was extended to the human race in it, and that person is awakened and calls on the Lord for mercy, there takes place an act of God towards that baby brand new believer that is permanent, it is complete, and it is total. It's what Paul calls here in Colossians 2:10, fullness. Fullness. You here who have trusted in Christ have been filled in him. Okay, if you have a King James Bible, it says you are complete in him. Okay, that means there is nothing lacking. There is nothing remaining now between you and God the Father. There are no weekly practices or diet restrictions or ritualistic repetitions or dues to pay that you have to keep up with in order to stay in God's good graces. If we unpack what Paul packed into this word fullness, what we see is this thing that the Bible calls the new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant is the terms. It's the exclusive terms on which God is now dealing with the human race. There was an old covenant. Okay, there was an earlier arrangement which God made with the people on Mount Sinai. It has the Ten Commandments. It has the other laws. And the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, and testament and covenant is the same word, okay? That is the part of the scriptures that deal with God's dealings with man under that arrangement. But when you get to the book of Matthew in your Bible, you have a page like this. It's blank except for three words, the New Testament. That tells us something about a new way by which God is now dealing with man. And that way was foretold in the old by the prophet.
Amen.
The days are coming when I will make a new covenant.
Yes.
And it won't be like the old covenant that I made with your fathers at Mount Sinai when I brought them out of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, understanding the new covenant is the key to a God-pleasing, joyous, Spirit-empowered life. It is the key to being able to offer yourselves to God a fragrant, pleasing aroma. Fullness is what is offered to you in the new covenant. Now, this kind of fullness is not some happy sensation like after a picnic. We say, oh, I'm so full. People are going through their lives and they are searching for some lasting feeling of fullness. It is not a feeling that you will get. This has to do with your status, not your feeling. Fullness in Christ is a thing that is true whether or not you feel full in Christ, whether you're in a religious or a holy mood or not, whether you feel like it's true or not. This completeness or fullness is something that God reckons to you. It's something that he accounts to you when you trust in Christ, and it doesn't depend on your keeping your obligations, keeping the Ten Commandments, obeying Old Covenant laws, keeping days, or paying your dues. You are complete.
Amen.
You are perfect in my sight. You are pardoned. You are washed. You are pure. You are now my child. It is finished. This accomplished perfection is what is offered to you and to me in the new covenant. This is why Jesus died, to seal the new covenant. This is why Jesus offered himself. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 that by a single offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You have been filled. You have been made complete in him, Jesus Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So we bring disgrace to Christ. We destroy the power of the cross. We trample on his blood. What did he say? This is the blood of the new covenant. If we burden each other, or we burden ourselves with an old covenant mentality. Unfortunately, much of what is taught in present Christianity is directly opposite to the new covenant. We want the old covenant. We have a thing for it. We have tasted the old wine, and we've gotten accustomed to it, and we said the old is better. We don't want the new. And so we keep days. And we pay tithes, and we pray on rosaries. Well, we don't, but some do, okay? Because we reject the new covenant. We may be doing it all unawares, but that is what we are doing. Because we don't understand the new covenant, we automatically default to the forms of the old. But I'm sorry, does this mean something right here at the beginning of the New Testament where it says the New Testament? Yes, this means something. It means you are complete in him. You have received fullness in him. Glory, hallelujah. The shadows are gone. The substance has come. The Son of God has come, and we have him. You are sons. You are daughters. You are in fellowship with God. You have free, unhindered access to him. He said in the terms of the covenant, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. It says you may draw near in the full assurance of faith. It says you can, the gifts we offer are free men's gifts, freely offered. In the old covenant, it's repetition, it's imperfection, it's obligation, it's a heavy conscience, it's temporary blessing. Oh, did you meet all of your religious obligations this week? Well, good. I guess you're good for now. You're all up to date. But miss your next tithe, skip your next Sabbath, and you're in trouble all over again. Or if you become unclean somehow, or you eat the wrong food, you're in trouble again. That's not sonship. That is servitude. That is not a cup that runneth over. That's a couple of drips in the bottom of a cup. I'm so thirsty. I don't want a couple of drips. I'm full. I want to be full. I need to be filled. I need fullness that will last. You are complete in Him, brothers and sisters, so we must no longer serve after the way of the old covenant. It is a dead way. The new way of the Spirit now is how we serve. For the Spirit gives life. The letter only kills. That emptiness, that hunger, that guilt that the old way leaves behind will always keep returning until we take hold of our rights, our birthrights, under the new covenant. Christians, we need to know the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. They're not to be mixed. We are not supposed to be preaching a gospel of Jesus and tithing, Jesus and the right prayers, Jesus and the seventh day. Fullness comes from being joined to Christ. If you add those things, it says in the scriptures, you are severing yourself from Christ. You are separating yourself from the head. Christ is the new covenant, and your fullness is in Him. To return to the old covenant or to mix them together is to place yourself outside this so great salvation. The new covenant is, Berean and First Baptist, the new covenant is our common salvation that Jude refers to. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the rest of the world needs what is in the new covenant. The world does not need more religion. It doesn't need a denomination or a system. The world needs Jesus Christ. Amen. And His complete Amen. Salvation. If we are going to share the gospel, we have to be able to enunciate and explain what is in the new covenant. You can be made complete. Right now, today, permanent, full, total salvation. And if there is a filling to be done that's subsequent to that, we read that other prayer, right? We read Paul's prayer that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That is something that takes place not because the initial transaction was incomplete or partial or it was only a seed or something like that. Paul is not there talking about our standing. He's not talking about our status as an adopted child, that we somehow become more God's children, be more adopted than we were at first. No. He's just talking about our disposition. We grow in our awareness of the blessings that are already ours. Okay? It's not that these things don't belong to us. They are ours by birthright. But we grow in them as we go through our Christian life. That is our joy. It is our duty to do that. That's why we do preaching and teaching. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we have prayer meeting. That's why we have a hymn book. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have picnics. So that we can grow in our understanding of these blessings of God in the new covenant that are already ours. That's what Paul calls being filled with all the fullness of God. To become more aware, to study the truth, okay? To become closer and closer to Christ and the likeness of His character. That's the fullness of God, growing stage by stage. That is something we should strive for. It is something we should pray for very earnestly. But it's something that does not one whit diminish the truth that was contained in Colossians 2:10, that in Christ we have already been filled. You, brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus, are complete in Him. One last thing. Paul says in Colossians 1:6 that the gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. And he says, and it's doing so among you too ever since you heard and understood it in all its truth. Ever since you heard and understood it in all its truth. Let's not be worshiping God as though we've never heard of the new covenant at all. Christians seem not to know that the old covenant is out of the way. They don't seem to know that they've been made complete in Christ. And so they go on and on, week after week and year after year in their religious routine and their struggles and their striving, fearing God's displeasure if they should ever break it. No, I must do this. Don't you see? Don't you know what it says in Malachi? Don't you know what it says in Exodus? Don't you remember what Moses said? Haven't you ever heard of the new covenant? God said it would be not like the old covenant. By one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That, brothers and sisters, is our common salvation. Perfected forever. That is a great salvation. And the scripture says, how shall we escape if we ignore it? If we got a gospel of Jesus saves, but you still got to do this, what do you mean then that he saves? Either he has perfected me forever, he has made me complete in him, or I've got to go week after week and year after year repeating the same services, the same offerings, the same sacrifices, the same tithes, the same Sabbaths, the same liturgy, the same heavy conscience. Mankind needs to hear. They need to have it explained to them before they will be able to believe. They need the undistorted message. And if we Christians don't understand ourselves, the new covenant, if we are not living the new covenant, how are we going to explain it to them? If we are not proclaiming the new covenant, which Jesus died to seal with his blood, all we can offer them is religion. And that is not a great salvation at all. That is just emptiness. No. We have been filled in Jesus Christ. And that is our great salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Let's give God glory for the new covenant. Father in heaven, we lift your name on high because it is all by your grace. You have made us perfect. The full rights of sons you have given to us. You've drawn us right into your presence. You have washed our sins away and forgotten about them. You have given us an inheritance, a birthright, everlasting life. You've made us part of a family, part of a body. And Lord, while we travel through this life, we need to grow, we need to learn, we need to strengthen. But Father, how we can rest and rejoice in knowing that you have accepted us, not because of righteous things that we have done, not because we're Baptists, not because we say the right prayers, or do the right things, or give so much amount of money, but because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Amen. He loved us, he died for us, he lives to intercede for us, he is our Savior, and we love him. And we thank you, Lord God, for this so great salvation, this common salvation that ties us closely together as brothers and sisters in Jesus. May you bless us. May you unite us. May you pour out your Spirit among us, Lord, even now. Even as we end our service and begin our meal together, Father, we pray for the unity of your Spirit and for the blessings of your eternal kingdom to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention, folks.